Friends, good evening. Welcome to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. Tonight, our practice is called Gregarious Conduct, and it is critical that we understand what gregarious conduct is and how it affects us, because this is an invisible, hidden force that is constantly surrounding us, and that it is creating a deep influence in the way that we think, in the way that we feel, and in the way that we act, in ways that the intellect is completely unable to detect it, because this is all at the level of energetic transactions within the subconsciousness and the infraconsciousness. Let us go ahead and start by reminding some of you, and to those of you who are younger in the audience, about some effects of the gregarious conduct. Gregarious conduct is the result of being mixed and blended with a group. But the key here is not just being part of the group. It is the consequence of the negative impressions that come to us as part of that mixing and blending with the group. This picture that we are showing you on the screen is a very real picture. We look at those who are here on this image, and they don't look like vandals. They would perhaps look like someone you may find at a soccer game at school on a Saturday morning, somebody you may walk by at the supermarket, maybe someone that you will see walking in the mall. But the environment in which they are participating is one that is extremely chaotic. This is a real event. And this is one of those many times that people who are honorable, respectful, people who are friendly and humble and responsible suddenly become part of a riot. This in particular happened, well, after some sports team won an event, and for some reason, to celebrate the victory, well, the crowd threw themselves in the street and they started rioting and burning vehicles and destroying property and pilfering, etc., etc. Now, the key here is that people who would have never done these things did them. And they became part of the group. And they, of course, well, did not do and perhaps could not do anything to stop or mitigate what was happening. But people who were tranquil, serene, responsible, suddenly allowed an inner aspect of them to manifest where they were thriving within the chaos. Now, this happens every time there is some kind of chaotic group. This happens every time there is a group of people out there who are complaining. This happens also every time we are part of a group and there is an environment of laughter and enjoyment. This is the result of gregarious conduct. We, of course, are showing this example with negative impressions because it is perhaps a little shocking and it will give you a little bit more tangibility. But when we move within different groups of friends, all it takes is a little bit of observation to see how is it that our behavior changes, how our voice inflections change, the things that we say, the way that we behave, the way that we think, the way that we want others to feel because of our contribution, and how we want to feel because of others in the group. This is all part of that gregarious conduct. And each and every one of us can become a victim to this situation of gregarious conduct. But we saw that in a group. What happens now in these post-COVID times, where so many of us have been isolated, working from home, isolated, going to school online because we could have not gone and partake presentially. What happens now where we are working also within a hybrid environment where we spend a lot of time isolated from people and a fraction of the time working or spending time around them? The same thing happens. We see that when we become mixed and blended within a group, whether we are there presentially or whether we are there sharing with them in online transactions, we continue to be heavily influenced by all of these negative impressions. And it is important that we realize this, because we already know about the three states of the ego. We know about the stereopsychic state of the ego. That is the one that is perceiving through the senses. And if you are online, or if you are presential, your senses are still active, and your eyes will see and respond to certain things, and your hearing will respond to certain things. Yes, there may be less senses involved, but nevertheless, there are impressions coming in through the senses. And because the brain perceives through the senses, and the brain has really no idea what is happening out there and what is happening out here, the brain will continue to react. So just the same way that you could be in front of some people and just being around them could invite you into an inferior emotion and a state of depression, the same can happen through a text message. The same thing can happen through posts and videos that you may see in the many different platforms that you're exchanging with. And what can we say about anger? Well, you can engage in a heated argument with someone, let's say about the topic of politics. And that can happen face to face. But we see that the same reactions take place when people are just reading comments, sending aggressive messages, and receiving them as well as they are online. So in this current moment where we are surrounded by so much technology, well, now we see that gregarious conduct has expanded. And we need to become conscious of this so that we can certainly do something about this. And what is then a greater threat of what we are experiencing? So let's just do a timeout here and make a very clear disclaimer. We are applying simply the fundamental principles of logic, and we are applying here superior thinking. We have dedicated ourselves to inquire, analyze, and as we inquire and we question and we analyze, to reflect on the possibilities. This is not a conversation about conspiracies. So now that that is clear, many of these applications that we have on the phone are very clever and have been designed in such a way where they seek to generate a response in the user that is very similar, if not the same, to the addiction symptoms of a gambler. And the algorithms are intelligent enough that they will throw you stuff just to keep you engaged enough. And based on the aggressiveness with which you scroll and you play with your mobile device, it will then send something that will kind of shock you, that will give you a bait just to capture your attention. And the way that this is done is by the aggressive collection of information. So now, if we decide to be a little bit critical thinkers and realize that there are many inferior aspects in us that are perhaps dangerous, well, then it is safe to assume that the exterior being a reflection of our interior, that these things will exist outside as well. Many of these applications will keep track of your search history. So somewhere it is known what is it that you look for and how often you look for that. But maybe you're someone who does not search for much. Well, it so happens that whatever is your browsing history, which you may consistently do throughout the month, well, that is also something that is known about you. Part of the information that the devices will be able to share as well are keystroke patterns, the velocity at which keystrokes are entered, and of course, the words that are associated to those keystrokes. But there are also biometric identifiers that are no longer exclusively in your device. These biometric identifiers, which are the shape of your face, perhaps your thumbprint, well, this is information of you that already exists somewhere else. If you have draft messages, things that that you have sent out, whether it is on some messaging device or through a text message or draft messages that you have kept in any social media platform, that is also being kept. And what this is saying now is that with just this information, there is a very intelligent way to create a picture of you based on what you look for, what you search for, the intensity on the subject matters that you type and how that moves you, as much as keywords that you have voluntarily entered into your device. But this does not stop there. There is metadata that is shared out of your device. That information is what is your screen resolution, what is your time zone, what language you are, what times you are operating your device, what is your peak amount of time during the day, what hours of the day those are. So now you have also contributed information that clearly states when is it that you're available to receive an impression, to receive an impulse. And then any text, any images, any videos that may have been copied somewhere and are stored within the memory of your device, well, those as well are taken and they are made part of the information that is known about you. But again, it does not stop there. Information like your name, your age, your phone number, your emails, your approximate locations wherever you go with this device, including the times of the day and the dates in which you were there. Now, that is also information that goes into this repository of information. And beyond that, what type of phone or mobile device you're using, what is the internet protocol locator that says what services do you use to transmit data? And the collective of the many things that you like and the many things that you share. It is important that we know that there are applications out there that will collect all of this data from your device every 30 seconds of the day. And when we consider that we are just not alone, that the same thing happens to all of our friends and family who have this very same information, that the same thing is happening to our neighbors and the people who live in our community, in our state, wherever country we may be living. Well, now what this is saying is that there is enough information out there to take a group very similar to this first group that we saw committing arson, pilferage, and destruction, and being able to send specific messages and information on the things that move you that will evoke certain thoughts, certain emotions, and of course, certain actions. And those actions could be of violence, and those actions could be of self-defeating, or simply of us falling on our knees thinking that we are completely incapable to deal with the circumstances that surround us. All of this information collected every 30 seconds from more than 500 million users in the planet is a substantial amount of information, and it is used so that you can continue to receive on your device the things that move you. That, combined with artificial intelligence that is capable of keeping you engaged, connected, hooked to your device, well, certainly you can create a psychological dependency, and you can become very vulnerable to behaving in ways that you would otherwise never behaved, provided that you had not been hooked to this device. This is important, because now we are moved into gregarious conduct, not only by the negative emotions of a crowd that may be rowdy, but also by a crowd that may be rowdy and yet not even present, but that they are all sharing aggressive thoughts that are populating the vast ocean of the mind, of which you and I and everyone else is a drop of. So we have to realize that this situation of gregarious conduct is not only very real, but that it has tangible consequences. Us acknowledging that this exists is the difference between us considering ourselves a log that is being dragged by the raging waters of a river, or us being the captain of a good sailboat who can use the winds to navigate always in their favor. So gregarious conduct is being mixed and blended within a group. But we already know that the group does not even have to be there physically. We know now that gregarious conduct is driven by negative emotions. And knowing this, we can anticipate that our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, and even the vital demands of the physical body in the way that our energy is used is going to be on a negative aspect. And gregarious conduct always affects the emotional center at the level of the heart. If you are a person who is prone to anger and you are blind to gregarious conduct, well, it would be very easy to manipulate that anger and for you to be in a constant state of stress and in a constant state of edge. If you are a person who has a psychological song that is associated to pride and those aspects of pride that end up inviting us to feel defeated or to feel depressed, then right there we have a door that is open for someone to be pouring garbage that will result in those thoughts and those sentiments and those physical actions that are correspondent to defeatism, depression, etc. All of these negative environments are contagious. But if we behave differently, but if we were to do things differently, we would not fall into the situation of doing things that we would have never done on our own. If we were to close the door to all of these negative emotions of others, we would become untouchable. If we were to close the door to all of these negative inferior aspects, we would be able to stand on very solid ground. In that center of the circle of Tao that we have spoken before, you would be able to see what these impressions are, and you would be able to synthesize them instantaneously, because you would be able to see it for what it is. You would be able to see what the opposite are, what the opposite is, the alternative or the antidote, and right then and there, you would be putting into practice that hermetic principle of vibration that all the masters have certainly mastered. They polarize themselves willingly, making use of their objective imagination and their willpower, into the condition of the highest vibration, That highest vibration is the condition that is more synchronous with the being. And when they do that, well, the pendulum swings and they just observe the pendulum. And people may insult them. They don't bat an eye. People may threaten them. They don't feel fear because of the threat, but can rather make use of their knowledge and their wisdom to navigate through the danger. We need to learn to close the door to all of these negative emotions of others. The biggest mistake that we make is to willingly open our doors indiscriminately because we are moved by devotion or because we are moved by admiration or because we are moved because we want to feel ourselves loved. No. We have to learn to close the door to all of these negative emotions of others. And this is how we can shield ourselves from gregarious conduct. For us to be able to do this tonight, we're going to take advantage of this endless supply of energy that we have within. We're going to transmute a little bit of our creative waters. And we're going to do a practice that is called Hamsa. I'm going to start by saying, dear friends, if you are a woman and you are in your period, as you listen to this practice, you should not practice this transmutation. Just like you should not do any exercises of transmutation when you are in your period. The reason for that is because your body is at a moment in which it needs of a creative magnetic pause to get rid of some deleterious substances. If we start making use of transmutation and we are demanding of that sexual creative energy, well, we're going to be bringing then some of those deleterious substances into places where they should not go, and they will affect you. So if you are in your period, stay here with us so that you can get a good feel for how this practice is done. And when you're done, then you can exercise the practice. Otherwise, everybody, let's go ahead and do this. We're going to take our sexual creative energies and we're going to invite them to reflow. But rather than allowing the energies to continue flowing outward, we're going to bring them inward and upward. What we will do is that we will make use of our creative imagination. We need to see this with the eye of the mind, and we will see these creative energies in action. You can imagine, again, using your willpower and your objective imagination, seeing that at the level of your sexual organs, well, there is a bright light. And you can see that light rising to the brain in a rhythmic and natural way. To do that, we're going to synchronize our breathing. And we're going to breathe in through our nose. And we will exhale through the mouth. But we will synchronize the inhalations and the exhalations of air in perfect concentration. We're going to do this harmoniously, and we're going to do it in rhythm. So that we do it harmoniously, so that we do it in rhythm, we're going to use a metronome. A metronome, as some of you are familiar from your music class, well, you know that the metronome counts the cadence. And it can do that at any interval of time that you so choose. Based on experience, we have seen that the most beneficial time, at least for us doing this practice, is on a time called lento. Lento in Spanish means slow. And lento at a cadence of 54 beats per minute. And it kind of surprised us. We were not anticipating that. However, we know that Kabbalistically that 54 speaks about transmutation as well. So we're going to use a metronome to help us breathe in and exhale harmoniously and rhythmically. Now, for Hamsa, the inhalation has to be deeper than the exhalation. Samael says, a perfect Hamsa the inhalation, it's like it becomes permanent, eternal, like it doesn't stop. So we're going to make our inhalation deeper than the exhalation. And we're going to do that simply because we need to make our creative energy flow inwards. Because we're going to be operating at a 4x4 time step. We're going to breathe in 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale. Sa. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sa. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sa. That is how we're going to do it. With this practice, as you relax your body, as you use your imagination to see as you inhale that that light is rising up your spine into your brain, and then you exhale rapidly through the mouth. Sa. You don't give an opportunity for that light to descend. You continue bringing it up and you sustain it up until it gets to the brain. And as it gets there, you keep it there. There will come a moment in which that energy will consistently be flowing inward and upward. And for us to do this, you can sit down comfortably in either one of two ways. If you are flexible enough, you are welcome to sit on the Eastern style, which means that you can sit at the lotus posture and just cross your legs, and that will be fine. For the rest of us who are not that flexible, sitting comfortably on a chair, feet flat on the floor, that is perfectly fine. We're going to relax our body. And as we relax our body, we're going to rest our hands in front of us, the left palm up, the right hand down on it. And with our left palm up and our right hand comfortably on it, we're going to inhale deeply, slowly, at that cadence from the metronome. And we will imagine that the energy is rising through the spermatic channels into the brain. As you are seeing this energy rising, mentally, you have to sing the mantra, hum. When the moment comes to exhale, because we are breathing in 4 counts, and we are exhaling at an instant, we will say aloud the mantra Sa. Sa has to be effortless. We have seen some pseudo-esoteric students that they force the Sa and they say Sa, Sa. It does not work like that because we cannot tense the body. We are going to make use of the true meaning of the word, of the letters. We're going to allow the S just to be a gentle whistle. S. Open the mouth with the A. Sa. And the H is just an exhalation. Sa. 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 And we're going to do it so effortless that the moment that that H comes to be articulated, all of the air naturally leaves the body. And then we once again breathe in 4. Breathe in. Sa. Breathe in. Sa. You see? Imagination and willpower in vibrant harmony. We're going to do Hamsa just for 10 minutes. That is what Samael recommends. It is so powerful, just for 10 minutes. And once we have done that, I will invite you to embrace the principle of spontaneity. Look back in your day today, in all those moments when you gave yourself to gregarious conduct, whether the negative emotions that generated something at work, or your family, or at school, or with your friends, or through your mobile device. And see how it affected your thoughts. See how your emotions were affected. Empower your consciousness so that you can understand if it was anger or lust, or if it was envy or greed, or if it was laziness or gluttony or pride. And we will take advantage of that transmuted energy, and to close the exercise, we will invoke the power of our Divine Mother. And we will ask our Divine Mother to help us eliminate that psychological aggregate. This is our practice for tonight. So we're going to go ahead and start by closing our eyes. Let's go ahead and make ourselves comfortable. Sitting comfortably with your feet on the floor. It is better if your feet are on the floor rather than on a footrest, so that you can allow for that direct contact with the ground, and that you can enable those flows of energy just to not be interrupted in any way. So if you are flexible, sit down comfortably, cross your legs. Okay, that helps you as well. Let's go ahead and close our eyes, and let's take a deep breath in. 1, 2. 1, 2. One, two. Let's pronounce the mantra Klim Krishnaya. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vayavaya Swaha. Let's do that for practice one more time. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vayavaya Swaha. Let's recite that mantra one more time for good practice. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vayavaya Swaha. And let's welcome that flaming star of protection that materializes around us, because it helps keep tenebrous entities at bay, because it helps provide some shielding against negative emotions and negative thoughts. And with that, we invoke of our divine being by saying, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my eternal God, we're here humbly at your presence, asking of you and begging of you of your contribution. We offer ourselves, Divine Father, as a delicate instrument at your service. Grant us the grace of fully enjoying the faculty of clairvoyance. Awaken in us the faculty of inspiration and intuition, so that we may truly perceive and see and comprehend without any logical reasoning of the mind. Allow us, Divine Father, to embrace the principle of spontaneity and to see exactly those crucial moments in the day when we gave ourselves to gregarious conduct, where we surrendered and went with the flow based on negative emotions. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. Let's take another deep breath in. 1, 2. And let's make ourselves aware of what is our emotional state. Let's make ourselves aware of what has been the prevalent emotional state during the day. Maybe it has been contentedness. Maybe it has been indifference or numbness. Maybe it has been sadness. But whatever that emotional state has been, we know very well that that is something that is temporal, that it comes and goes like the swing of the pendulum. And we know that if we were sad earlier, that later on we're going to be happy. Just like we know that if we were happy today, sooner or later that pendulum will swing and we may experience some sadness. But at the same time, those new emotions will also pass. And because they flow, because they change, there is no need to hold on to them. There is no need to anchor them. There is no need to dress ourselves with them. So we just stand aside and we allow them to flow and we contemplate them. And we have the certainty that we are empowered to do this right now, just as much as at any moment, today or during the upcoming days. And then focusing on our breath, experiencing satisfaction, knowing that we can stand aside and see these emotions just flow and pass by without affecting us. We take a deep breath in. 1, 2. And we focus the attention of our consciousness on our feet. And we focus on our toes, on our heels, our ankles, our calves, our shins, our knees. We focus the attention of the consciousness on the underside of our thighs, on our glutes, our hips, and our creative organs. And just like that, without any effort, we instantaneously start feeling that gentle softness that comes with a deep state of relaxation. And we experience it with satisfaction. We focus the attention of our consciousness at the very base of our spine. And it does not take long for us to feel, even at a physical level, the presence of that energetic force. So with every inhalation, we allow that consciousness to continue shifting itself upwards one vertebra at a time. Spreading relaxation throughout all of those primary nervous branches that radiate from our spine to the rest of our body. And we relax our lower abdomen. We relax our belly and all those organs that exist inside of our abdomen. We bring that relaxation to our spleen and our pancreas, to our liver and our stomach. And suddenly we notice that our exhalations are not only effortless, but so much more deeper. We bring that relaxation into our lungs, our heart. And as we continue breathing, we allow that sensation of relaxation to continue climbing up our spine. Until it reaches the height of our shoulders. And from there, we let it cascade into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and out our fingers. And we give ourselves an instant just to see and perceive that deep state of relaxation permeating throughout all of our body. And we're certain that we can invoke this state of relaxation at any moment, today or in the upcoming days. We bring the attention of our consciousness to the base of our skull, that space behind the head and between the ears. And it does not take long to even physically perceive how that energy feels like. And so we let that consciousness continue to expand. And as it grows along the sides of our head, we relax our tongue and our lips. We relax the muscles of our jaw. We relax our eyes and our eyelids. We relax the muscles of our forehead. And we allow that sensation of relaxation to grow until it finds itself at the very crown of our head. As you breathe, use your willpower in your objective imagination to see a gentle ray of blue light that descends from the heavens and penetrates through your head. And internally illuminates your lungs. Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for this new opportunity. And we ask of you that it is you, the one that enables the full transmutation of our creative energies. We set our hands, left palm up, right hand on the left one. We breathe in.
So.
Embrace the principle of spontaneity and allow yourself to retrospect in your day. Allow yourself to see that moment where you rendered yourself to gregarious conduct. The influence of friends, the influence of family, the influence of mobile devices and social media. Notice the instant where you open the doors to the opportunity of being influenced. See how that affected your thoughts. See how that moved your thoughts into a space of delinquency, carelessness. See how that led your thoughts to just become nourishment of the ego. See how those thoughts resulted in you forgetting about yourself. Clearly see the effect of those emotions that emerged afterwards. It could have been emotions of excitement because of you doing something they shouldn't have done. Could have been emotions of sadness, of feeling inferior, inadequate, insufficient. And perceive the effect that that had in your body. Will your body continue to do that thing that it shouldn't have done? Will your body did not respond and did not do what it actually should have? Observe how is it that when you forgot about yourself, the body just continued forward seeking to satisfy more sensations. Because it became an instrument of the ego. And clearly see what defect that was. Whether it was a defect of pride or anger, envy or greed, laziness, gluttony, or lust. And most of all, realize that you do not need of this defect. Most of all, realize that this defect is just a hindrance. It is an obstacle. And see that beyond this obstacle, there is happiness awaiting. There is no more slavery. There is no more dependency. Divine Mother, we invoke you with our soul and our heart. And we ask of you, we beg of you in the name of the Christ, by the power of Christ, by the love of Christ, that you bring your flaming spear of arrows, and that you help us by reducing this defect to our cosmic dust. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. And after that exercise of transmutation, you will see that your Divine Mother will be revealed to you in a vision. Divine Mother, we give you infinite thanks for your intervention. We give you infinite thanks for help liberate our consciousness. And to you, Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for this new opportunity. Awaken in us the fire of your longing, and allow us to discover the love for the work itself. May all this materialize. May all this crystallize according to your will. Amen. 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 Very well. So take a deep breath in. One, two. Wiggle your toes and your fingers and come back. And dear friends, this has been our practice today on the topic of gregarious conduct. Thank you, everyone, for being with us this evening.
And may all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy. Everyone, have a good night.